This is the Enterprise Mobility Roundup podcast, where we discuss technology topics related to Android and workforce devices and how they intersect with business and mobility.
Welcome to another episode of the Blue-Fledged Mobility Roundup podcast. Today, we are going to talk about, for the next 25 minutes, juggling robots. Right?
Let's do it. Yeah. All right. Robots.
Actually, we're talking about MODEX. So Richard and I spent this week at MODEX, which I think you lost your voice for about a day. Has it come back?
It's coming back. I'm not used to talking that much, but it was worth it, I think.
It was a cool show, though. But we're going to talk about some of the things we saw, top three, and then some of the things I actually didn't see. So just really interested in going through and talking about that a bit. So for you, what were your top three things you saw at MODEX or things that stood out to you as you walked the floor this week?
So the first one is everybody's top, which is robots. You know, who has the biggest, baddest, quickest, most nimble robot? The other piece would be automation. So how are, you know, companies using tools and technology to move things throughout the warehouse quicker? And the third one for me is partners. So, you know, a lot of our partners were there. This is one of the conferences that didn't get canceled due to, you know, health reasons or, you know, social distancing. So I felt like a lot of pent-up demand from sales kickoffs earlier in the year, NRF, you know, conferences that, you know, got moved to virtual, you know, everybody wanted to come to MODEX.
Yep. And I think along those lines, it was very busy. So I heard NRF was, you know, 25-30% attendance this year. MODEX had full attendance and it was pretty crazy.
Yeah, it was a great time.
Yeah, I think we did the first day and the second day in 2020, which was the second day was the day after they announced COVID was a pandemic in the US, and it was a ghost town. So substantially different than that this year, which is pretty crazy. On the robots, was there anything that stood out to you as you saw people, you know, pitching robots or talking about robots? Like what is the main use case in the warehouse or in the supply chain that people have for robots?
The three big use cases I see are first, just picking things up. So a lot of robots with suction cups, suction. So just being able to pick up the box up, move it from A to B. Boston Dynamics had a very interesting robot that was unloading, not a trailer, but, you know, a storage container. So taking storage out of that. The other one would be moving boxes for storage, whether that's climbing, whether that's getting a box for picking or pulling. And so you definitely saw a combination of robots and conveyor belts that achieve that. And the last one for me would be co-robots. So Zebra was there with their latest acquisition of Fetch. And so using robots in conjunction to, you know, make it easier for humans to do things throughout the warehouse. So they were showing how you can pick and pull, but use the robot to do all the carrying and most of the legwork in the warehouse.
Yeah. For me, MODEX is always a really interesting show because I always talk about you got tire chocks, you got wheel casters, you got shoveling units. And then over here, you got some guy with some crazy robot I never even thought of before. But
right.
The robots definitely were my number one thing that stood out to me. And it's everybody brought one this year. I feel like that, you know, a couple of years ago, it was like one or two people had robots. Boston Dynamics was there. But, you know, I think the ubiquity everybody's trying to push towards it is going to be still a long thing. It's, I always like think of the RFID thing, like 2002. People are like, RFID's coming. Like 20 years later, we're still like, RFID's coming.
So if we get a booth next year, we got the Blue-Fledged Bot. There we go.
Yeah, robot. We'll get a robot. We got to figure out to do something cool with it. The juggling robot was definitely cool. I think
we should have a dancing robot doing the robot. There we go.
Parkour. Is that the one the Boston Dynamic guys did, the parkour robot?
That would scare me, but carry on.
What was the one video they had where the guy was hitting the robot with the hockey stick?
It was hitting and kicking it, and it kept getting back up.
Did you ever see the voiceover where the guy did the voiceover of the robot? It's pretty spectacular. The guy's like, stop hitting me.
Let the link it in the description.
It'll be in the description. We'll find that in there. Yeah, so robots for me were number one. So being able to have automated arms that pick boxes off shelves and then be able to palletize things and pack it up. You still need people for those types of things. The other thing that was interesting to me was the usage of cameras. So along with robots is, you know, conveyor belts. We have, you know, cameras, like we've had this for a while, but the another thing back to the ubiquity of having high-speed cameras that are looking at what's happening and using that to make decisions on the conveyor belts, on the floor, on loading. You know, the speed and pushing AI to the edge with cameras is definitely something that's we're going to see more of in the next couple of years. It's been pretty interesting to me.
Yep, it goes back to my second point of automation. So I know our other partner, Datalogic, showed off a lot of usage of camera for scanning pieces of material as it moves through. So using those scan tunnels, having, you know, boxes go through there, just flying through there, the speed at which they can scan and the accuracy just keeps increasing every year. I think I was talking to them and they said they had one customer that scans every 36 milliseconds and they're not capturing a lot of information, but when you think about it, you know, that's, you know, every time you blink, you know, you're scanning.
Yeah.
So that's going very, very quickly.
Yeah. I think, you know, along the scanning too, the scanners are getting better and better. I think Datalogic had one of their newer, longer range scanners and the ability to scan from, you know, a not huge barcode from 20 feet away is pretty impressive. The aiming is still a problem, but the actual ability to recognize and pick things up is pretty cool.
And use the same device at 20 feet away, but also use it as close as 3 inches away, you know, is, you know, a great way to package, you know, a device.
Yeah. I think for me, another thing, like my number three, so, you know, robots number one, cameras number two. Number three was software that solved problems. I feel like in the past, there's a lot of companies that would put things out there and be like, here's this technology. And I'm like, you know, what to what end? I want to see things that are, here's the problem we're solving first. So the whole like Clay Christensen, you know, what is the job to be done? So mm-hmm. here is the thing we're doing. We're making this more effective. We're, you know, reducing, you know, transport time, you know, within the warehouse, but actually using software to solve a problem as opposed to software sakes. I didn't see, and this is kind of the next thing, but things I didn't see, AI, ML, nobody had that. I think it was
implied.
This. Yeah.
So nobody was showing that off as come look at this cool AI that we have. You just assume that AI and ML were in the background.
Yeah.
We're not showing it off, but we have it. Trust us.
Yeah, I feel like everybody learned from IBM's mistake there. Trying to sell Watson. People are like, what is AI?
It's too soon.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not too soon. It's just you're not describing. It's like me trying to describe things to my mom. I end up being like, well, it just makes it easier for the employees to log in. She goes, oh, I get it. I start trying to describe like security and NFC to her. And she's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Another thing I didn't see was there were not a lot of new mobile devices out there. I feel like that's the space we're in. Mobile devices are a bit stagnant. There was a new wearable from that Zebra had. I call it the Tamagotchi ring, but the WS50, it's like a ring scanner with actual Android on it. And mm-hmm. it was a cool use case, interesting. But yeah, I think that was pretty much the only like new mobile device I saw that was out there. What did you see in the mobile device front?
Most of everything that I knew that was out there, I think Zebra might have been the only partner that I have listed that actually brought a new device. It was launching it at MODEX. So, you know, me being in the mobile space, I was excited to see that. Looking forward to get our demo unit and get our hands on that. Everything else was pretty much the same. I think Datalogic had their new Scorpion device, Scorpio. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right.
Scorpio, yeah.
Scorpio. They had it in three different variations with the long range scanner. You can have it with the handle pistol grip or with the just the strap handle on your hand. The other thing I didn't see a lot of use cases that involved humans. So I felt like we are getting taken out of the mix in MODEX, either being replaced by robots, automation, or even from a safety perspective, you know, being able to do things out of the way of danger or harm.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the humans are hard to hire right now.
They are. And yeah. They're cranky and they have expectations and families and hobbies and dreams and goals. Robots don't have that yet.
These are my 20 employees. They're all named Rob Ott.
There you go.
What is that guy trying to face? Trying to like, which one of these is palm trees or whatever? The commercial.
That commercial, the robot trying to convince the website. He's not a robot.
Oh, that's good. Another thing I didn't see, which stood out to me was, and you sort of alluded to this earlier, I saw no masks. There are very few people wearing masks of the tens of thousands of people there. So either COVID is done or we're all going to have COVID in 2 weeks, right?
Both are true.
I hear Putin got rid of COVID.
He got rid of a lot of things.
Just pushed it down below a fold on BBC. Another thing, I think we, you know, just looking at like how people are demoing things and demonstrating things, I feel like there was less, you know, with robots, I feel like there was less booth space. It wasn't like people going into booths. It was like, here's, you know, walk around on the outside.
Well, they take up a lot of space, right? So if you're actually showing off a conveyor belt system, even if it's a small section of that, it still takes up a lot of space. And it's hard to have, you can't really have people walk through a conveyor belt. So when you throw up these, you know, robots running around or this conveyor belt system or this robot arm that's doing the suction and you have a freaking container there with a robot loading in and out of it, like it just takes up a lot of space.
Don't get squished by the robot. And I think another thing I did see that is kind of interesting from a presentation standpoint. I feel like people added in like digital monitors in the last couple of years, but actually started to see people using some of those holographic displays.
Yeah, those are really cool.
It's a cool experience at a trade show to be able to see things and walk around it and see it in three dimensions. But I can't think of a ton of practical applications outside of trade shows or maybe training for those types of things.
No, that would be tough. I also did not see, and this was your point, but I'll bring it up. Didn't see a lot of AR, VR. I saw one VR solution. I think it was around training, around actually for humans to use a lift system. And so I thought that was interesting. I thought I would have saw a lot more AR applications out there.
What about exoskeletons? Any of those?
Didn't see a true exoskeleton, but I did see one booth where they had like a suit or a rig that helped, you know, humans carry boxes. But, you know, it was one booth of that in 100 booths of section cut robots.
I did see a lot of forklifts.
A lot of forklifts.
A lot of forklifts out there. And I think the back to the themes, I think eliminating people it's not really necessarily eliminating people. It's just, you know, we can't get enough people in the warehouse supply chain. So it's how do we use things to augment that?
And we keep wanting to buy things and you want it there quicker, right? So you put something in your Amazon shopping cart and it's giving you a countdown to say it can get delivered today. Like that is instantaneously going to a distribution center. Somebody or some robot eye is picking that and getting it on a truck and getting it delivered to you. So, I mean, the more we do this, the faster we do this, it's going to be a combination of us and robots or more robots to help us do that more efficiently.
Cobots. And do you think on the your point of the AR, VR, with Meta and all the things that are happening on the consumer, I feel like that consumer a lot of times, especially like mobility, leads the enterprise. Do you feel like that a lot of the things happening with Meta are going to end up trickling down into the warehouse and stores in the next 2-3 years? Or do you think that that's going to be a completely segmented type of technology?
No, I think it will be. The barrier for entry is a lot lower. So actually having VR headsets, there'll be a lot more augmented reality glasses coming onto the market. I think once Apple and Google start releasing more, everybody else will follow suit. And then the tools to be able to integrate those are becoming easier to do. And so I think all those things will lower the barrier of entry and give people different opportunities to participate. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that it was really interesting to get an email to say your package has been shipped. And we thought that was really, really cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, now you'll get a UPS or a DHL and you can follow your truck when it gets close by. You know, imagine, you know, a VR experience or AR experience when you buy a car or make a certain purchase and you get to watch your thing get built or delivered, or you get to share that experience or participate in that experience before it comes to you. So, I mean, that possibilities are endless. We just have to see how companies want to leverage that.
It'll be cool. Look forward to seeing that. All right. So in summary, MODEX 2022, lots of robots, automation, trying to figure out the people problem, how to deal with the lack of new hires in the warehouse. Any other key takeaways you have before we wrap up?
Just, I would like to shout out a lot of our partners. So I know we mentioned Honeywell and Zebra. I know Honeywell was there with Telegrade it from a AI and ML perspective. You know, they were showing off a lot of the efficiencies you can gain by combining your labor management systems with your warehouse management systems to, you know, handle peak demand of trying to find people with demand of moving things throughout the warehouse. You know, Zebra showing off its latest acquisition of Fetch and the co-robots of picking, and also the new, your words, Tamagotchi wearable. But I think it'd be really cool. It's a very small wearable, full Android, great battery life. Interesting to see, who wants to leverage that device. You know, it's going to need single sign-on. It's going to need, some cool apps. So we'll be here to, write those.
Awesome. Excellent. Richard, thank you for joining me today. I appreciate it. And then, as always, subscribe or like if you get a chance. And if you have any other questions, reach out to us at info@bluefledge.com. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the Enterprise Mobility Roundup podcast. If you enjoyed the discussion, please take a few moments to rate us. If you would like to listen to future episodes, please subscribe. To learn more about mobility topics or submit any questions, visit us at bluefledge.com.